Shus Marina Rav Shlita. It was a wonderful surprise to come into shul this morning and to see that we're having a bris. We're going to make a slightly shorter shir this morning as a result of it. But I was thinking, how do we connect up the idea of bris mila and the idea of what we're going to speak about today, Shmitas Ksofim and Prusbul. And Shmita is the seven-year cycle. Shabbos is a seven-day cycle. And the Maharal says that seven is the way of nature and the order of things. And then when you get to the number eight, eight is lemalo min ha-teva. Eight is already the supernatural. That we show our emunah with our Kadosh Baruch Hu in our 7 days of the week in this world, culminating in the climax of the seventh. But the bris mila is lemalo min ha-teva. It's to show an even greater form of emunah than the Shemitah might be doing by giving ourselves physically to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the number 8. Anyway, Prusbul. Over the next 2 to 3 weeks, you're probably going to hear a lot about Prusbul. You're probably going to read a lot of articles about Prusbul. And the common word which you will probably come across in the various kinds of articles which are written about it is a Chazal devised a loophole. That's what you're going to read a lot of. Because the Torah says, and we learned in Parshas Re'eh, Lo Yigos, you may not claim back the loans. The loans can be cancelled at the end of Shemitah, although the person who borrowed the money can give it back. In fact, Chazal praised the person who gives back what is owed. Nevertheless, a person is freed from the obligation. And why is that? The Torah says, you're free from the obligation of paying back. What is the rationale behind the Torah law of releasing debts at the end of the sabbatical year? It's really a lesson in sociology and economics. Why is it just there and then that the Torah cancels loans? First of all, giving a loan is a mitzvah. In kesef talve es ami. It's a nice form of tzedakah because the poor person doesn't feel so embarrassed. We just had the Shemitah year where the people who are involved in arable agriculture were unable to get for themselves an income. So these people who are involved in agriculture, who may normally during the 6 years of the cycle might be very prosperous members of our society. But when it comes to Shemitah and they've got no income, then they come more into the poverty bracket. And so what is happening is that the people who are not involved in arable agriculture can be subsidizing those in agriculture, so that everybody has a role in Shemitah observance. That is to say that the people are able to lend, the people who do have the income, the people like the tradesmen and the shoemakers and the tailors and others who are not involved in Shemitah, they get the income so they can assist those who are abstaining from the agriculture in Shemitah by lending them money. And by at the end of the Shemitah, those people who feel poor because they haven't been working the land, those are the ones who have been borrowing money, and they can be given that kind of subsidy by the more wealthy by saying, don't worry, you don't have to pay it back. And in a way, it's a method of releasing them from embarrassment. Because people who are poor habitually accept tzedakah. But people who are not habitually poor, but just for that 1 year of the seven, don't get the income, for them it's more embarrassing to take tzedakah, because normally they're prosperous people. And so what the Torah is doing is creating a mechanism whereby they won't be so embarrassed. They have to borrow money to get them through these hard economic times, and now they're told you're released from the loan. And that gives them an economic advantage, as well as a face saver. Because then when the 8th year comes, they can start afresh, they've got to reinvest in their business, they've got to start with new overheads, and they don't have to have hanging around their neck the debts which they incurred from the Shemitah year. So the Torah says, you are released from those debts. That is a rationale we can see of the Torah in the economical sense and the sociological sense. So why do we have Prusbul? So the Gemara says that Hillel came along and saw that people were not lending money anymore. People were refraining from giving the poor people or the people involved in Shemitah observance some money as loans because they were worried they wouldn't get it back. But it's a mitzvah to lend money, but they were refraining from lending money because they were thinking, why should I lend money to somebody who might not give me my money back at the end of Shemitah? I'm better off doing something else with my money and investment. So it was a Yerida Hazeres. People were less inclined.
And we've got to think back,
when was Hillel living? He was living towards the end of the Bais Sheni. The Bais HaMikdash was still standing. But why was the second Bais HaMikdash eventually destroyed? Because people were not having enough regard and respect to one another. There was not enough
Bein Odom L'Chaveiro.
And already at the time that Hillel was living, which was about 60 years before the Churban Bais HaMikdash, there were big problems, and Herod was in charge, and putting a golden eagle and so on the Bais HaMikdash. There were all sorts of problems happening, and already then, the symptoms which led to the destruction were already prevalent. And he saw that people were not having enough Bein Odom L'Chaveiro, and they were not lending money. So what did he do? He instituted the Prosbul, which says that those loans are not cancelled. And as a result, the poor people were assisted, that they could then borrow money. So what was his basis? His basis was, as we're going to read in the Gemara in a moment, guard yourself against the fact that you might have an evil inclination not to lend money to the poor because you know that Shemitah is coming and the loans will be cancelled. That is an issur lav. Hishom elecho is a lashon of love. And to protect people against committing this crime of not lending the poor, he devised the Prosbul. So we're going to see how this related to the halacha. But from the outset, we can see an economic crisis. The eighth year, farmers can't build up their business. There's the state of the economy. There's less money supply in circulation because of the Shemitah observance. So there's less food. There's a credit crunch. There can be more inflation and more unemployment as a result. So Hillel, as an economist, saw a way of kick-starting the economy that people don't hang over their necks this burden of having to pay back loans. But if we look briefly at the Gemara, we got here the Gemara Gittin in front of us, Daf Lamed Vav. We'll come to that. Hillel will show that what he was doing was according to the Torah. The bottom line is that there is a kach of chachomim to do certain things which might be even against the Torah as a gezer and as a siog, and we'll come to that. If we look at the Gemara Gittin, and you've got vertical lines marking the main Gemara which we want to do, but because of time I might skip a few bits. So if you look at the main Gemara about five lines down of this text, which is Tanan Hosom, you've got the two vertical lines marking the relevant Gemara. Tanan Hosom Prusbul Einam Ashamet. This is on the Mishnah which says, Hillel Hiskin Prusbul Mnetikon Olam. For the smooth order of the world, he instituted the Prusbul. So what did he do? So let's go through this quickly. Prusbul Einam Ashamet. Prusbul involves the fact that loans are no longer cancelled. Zerechot Min Adram Shiskin Hillel Azokain. It's one of the things that he instituted. Shoraisom Shinimnu Melahalo Zerzer. He saw that people stopped lending money to each other. The Avru al Masha Kosav Torah, and they were transgressing against the halacha in the Torah. Mishom lechopin yetavot in the Mavacha Bilial. Omad v'hiskin Prusbul. So he instituted the Prusbul. V'zeru gufa shel Prusbul, and this is the lashon, the explanation, the wording of the Prusbul. Mosroni lochem peloni zayonim shemokem peloni shekolchav sheish yetsa peloni agavenu kol masha etze. I'm handing over to the Beis Din any debts which are owed to me, and the Beis Din have the power to reclaim those loans. We'll discuss the basis of that in a minute. By Dayonim Chosmin the Matar, and the Dayonim sign underneath are Edim, the witnesses. And now comes the crucial question. How is it possible that if the Torah cancels loans, the Hiskin Hillel de lo Mashamto, the Hiskel can go against the Torah? Says Rashi, if you look on the right-hand side, underlined, V'hiskin hilal delo shashamit, v'akadom in haTorah. He is uprooting something which the Torah is saying. Amar Abaya b'shvias b'zman hazeh. According to Abaya, Shemitah nowadays is a dindar rabbanon because there's no yovel. And even in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, because not all the 12 tribes were gathered in the land, the Reuven and God and so on, and therefore there was no Yovel then, and Shemitah was called Durabonon. So according to Abaya, because Shemitah is Durabonon, and Hillel saw here an Issa Daraisa, so in order to make sure that loans carry on, he was entitled to institute the Prusbul. The Rebbe, and he bases it on the view of Rebbe. We will show other views in a minute that it's his Daraisa, but this is the view of Rebbe, Rabbi Yudah Nossi,
The Sanya Rabbi Omer said about Shemitah Shoet B'Shtei Meshemitah Sakosim Medaber. So the Pasuk is talking about Shemitah's Karka and Shemitah's Sofim. Bizman Shatam Shamik Karka, Atam Shamik Sofim. Bizman Shiyatam Shamik Karka, Yatam Shamik Sofim. So that's the view of Rebbe, and now to the following page, which is halfway down, to the next page. The Takina Rabbanah to Shamek, and the rabbis made a Takana that Shemitah is Meshamek, Zeichel Shavias, because we want to remain Shavias. So the Din to Rabbanon carries on. Rahilel Shinim Nomin El Havah Zeh, so Hillel saw they were not lending. Omar Vahiskin Prozbul, he instituted the Prozbul. So the Gemara has asked now one basic question. How could Hillel do something against the Torah? Comes along the Gemara now, after Abaya's answer to say it's an Adrabbonon, so the Gemara turns its original question on its head and asks it the other way around. If you say that nowadays it's Drabbonon, and therefore according to the Torah, loans are not cancelled, what has Chazal and Hillel the right to cancel out loans, namely without a prosbul, and then you need a prosbul to cancel it, because without a prosbul, loans are cancelled. Whereas according to the Torah, they're not cancelled. Now, what is then going against the Torah? If you look at the first Rashi, which is underlined, Vomar Abonanta Tashamit, Venimtsa Halova Gazlan Alpien. So then you're not going against the dinim of Shemitah. If the rabbis say that loans are cancelled when the Torah says the loans nowadays are not cancelled, then it's a question of theft, because you're withholding paying back a loan where you owe money. If, according to the Torah nowadays, you do owe the money, then by withholding the money, that's stealing. So answers the Gemara of Abaya. So Abaya says, Sheval Tase means sit and do nothing. It's a passive form of Akiram Natara. So if we look at Rashi, Sheval Tase, Halova Hazesh Sheval Botel. So the person who borrowed money, it's not that he's deliberately not paying back, he sits and does nothing, but and the lender does not claim his loan, but Okolopi or dying, so you're not actually doing something actively in going against the Torah. Chazal have the power to say passively, you are not fulfilling what the Torah is saying, like we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos, and the rabbis had the right to do this, but there may be of almost. But Isha Rabba, that's the Gemara, talks about it. It's not an active Akiram in our Torah. But Hillel and Chazal were saying, basically, you don't have to pay back loans. It's a kind of theft. Ah, Chazal were entitled to say, Sheval Tase, sit and do nothing. And as a Geda and a Siog LaTorah, Yishom HaLachob Penya Devor and Vavachob Elyahu, to protect the poor people, that they may still be able to get loans. That is the Takonah. So it's quite radical. It sounds very controversial. And in fact, the Gemara later on, Shmuel says, I don't like this idea of prosbul. He calls it an ulbanah, the Gemara says, is a loshon of chutzpah. It's a chutzpah that Hillel comes along and starts doing these controversial things. So it was quite a radical move. However, if we look at Tosfos, without wishing to get too longish, we will find an interesting eye-opener on the background of Prozbul. So if you look at the top part of your page on the left-hand side, the Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, Mi Ikar Midah Midaraisa. So I've underlined part of it. Before I actually read the Tosfos, I'm going to tell you what Rava says. We didn't actually say Rava. If you look in the Gemara, after Abaya says Sheval Tasehu, Rava Amar Hefka based in Hefka. Rava says, I don't agree with Abaya. Abaya says Sheval Tasehu, I say Hefka based in Hefka. That means the Beis Din have the right, if they feel it's equitable to do so, to compulsorily acquire from one party and to give the money to another party. Rava's view, explained the Mefarshim, is that he still holds its Daraisa. Because we heard Abaya saying two things here. Before Abaya said Bishvias Bismanazer, and now Abaya says Sheval Tase in answer to the second question. And there's an argument as to which question is Rava answering. According to Rashi, Rava's answering already the first question, which was, how could Hillel overturn something which is Daraisa? Because according to Rava, Shemitah nowadays is Daraisa. And therefore, he doesn't say Bishvias Bismanazer like Abaya does. He says, Hefka Bezdin Hefka, the Bezdin have the power. Adova Sheba Momo, it's a monetary matter. The Bezdin have the power to acquire when they feel it's equitable. So that's what they're doing. Let's now turn to Tosfos. Let's just look at the underlined bit. Is it right that Hillel overturned something which is min ha-Torah? The afal gavdador shinon b'sifri, and this is now a very interesting idea coming up. There is elsewhere chazal which darshans out from the sifri, v'ashegi elachos achicha tashmei odecho. This is from last week's Parshas Re'eh. V'lo shel achicha biodecho. Chazal do a drosha, that when it says achicha in the din of Shemitah, it means that although you as an individual can't claim what's owed to you, the Beis Din can claim, and you can hand over your chovas to the Beis Din. What's debted to you in loans, you can say to the Beis Din, take it over for me, which is what Hillel just did. But before Hillel did his takana of Prisbal, this has always been a din. Min ha-Torah, hamal v'ala mashkon, if you lend on a pledge, like you give me your car while I give you a loan, Shemitah is not Meshamet. There's no Shemitah effect. There are a number of times when Shemitah does not cancel the loans. If you give a loan for a fixed period of 10 years, Shemitah does not cancel the loan. And in the same way, Tosfos here is alluding to the fact that if a person gives his loans over to the Beis Din, even without Prisbul, then Shemitah does not cancel out the loans. So that leads us to the question of, well, what do you need Prisbul for? What did we need Hillel for? But let's have a look at Tosfos. So where it says that one lends on a pledge, and one gives over the debts to the Beis Din, which means therefore that what do you need all this Hillel business for? Why did Hillel institute a Prisbul? But in any case, nevertheless, lo hello lasos takana lamed lasos kain shabitel v'kach shmatos k'sofim shesif tzatorah. It's not the right thing to do that the Torah gives you a din, and you're effectively, in practice, doing away with it. At least with Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. So you don't blow the shofar on Shabbos on certain years. You don't take the lulav on Shabbos for certain years. But we're not doing away with the din of shofar completely. But here, suggests Tosfos, what Hillel was doing was he was effectively eliminating the din of Shemitah Kesafim forever. All right, it's true that you can go to Beis Din, you can say to Beis Din, min ha-Torah, take over my chovas. But by putting this into effect, this mechanism, Hillel was effectively doing away with Shemitah Kesafim always, every single year, forever. And so Tosfos is saying, it's pasnished, as they say in Irish. It's not right, is it, l'chachila, to do away with something. So you can say, but Hillel can say, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm not changing any particular law. It already exists, the law, that I can give over my chovas to the Beis Din. So what's Tosfos saying? Tosfos saying, well, it's the spirit of it. It's true that Hillel's allowed to institute something where you go to the Beis Din, because you could already go to the Beis Din. It's an existing din in our Torah. But if we give a moshel on this, an example, nowadays, in modern technology, it's possible to do all the 39 halachos of Shabbos without breaking Shabbos. You can have time switches, you can have automated machinery, you can have robots, you can have doing for you, ploughing, sowing, reaping, cooking, writing, printing, shechting, anything you could do as a malacha by means of automation, by means of your kalim. But that would be against the spirit of Shabbos. It wouldn't be right. You could get robots to carry for you in the street. So effectively, you might be doing away with Shabbos completely. Well, that would not be Ruach HaChomim Nochehimenu. It would be against the grain and the spirit of what the Torah is asking us to do. And that's why we have to comments like Amir Lakum and Muksa and so on, all that's good Dorim and all that's Siogim, to protect the sanctity of Shabbos.
I heard Rabbi Wein say, on the Moshul he just gave, that the time switches and everything help you to keep Shabbos, but you're going to be Zohar.
Yeah. Even that's right.
Even if you say that we're trying to get around the dini, you know, perhaps Hillel was trying to get around the dini and Torah, we've also got a problem about sending comments on paper.
I appreciate that because I was going to come soon to grouping three Mechiras Chametz, Heteriska, and Prisbul. We're going to find a common denominator about them, and we're going to discuss those in a minute. Because they are all halachas where people, 99% of people, think they're all called loopholes. And we're going to discuss that, whether they really are loopholes. Heteriska is if I lend you money to invest, for we do a business together, and you invest the money, and you're going to give me back a bigger return, is there ribis? Is there interest? So that's heteriska is we do a contract with each other on a partnership. I was going to analyse more the machlokas of Abai and Rava, because Abai and Rava are very complex, and every time I go through this Gemara I think of something different. Once Rabbi Roberts was suffering from some stress, and somebody asked him, you know, where did you get all your stress from? And he said, Abai and Rava. When you go into Abai and Rava argument, you can find very, very deep significances. And, you know, why can't Abai hold Hefka best in Hefka? It's a din min ha-Torah. It seems Abai wants to, as he holds Shmitas Ksofim is Drabon, and he doesn't see it as a suitable apparatus to go against the Daraisa in other ways. Or maybe that the Sheval Tase involved is just to leave it where it is. That Hefka Bez and Hefka can either be just to be mafkir or something, to make something ownerless, but it, can it go as far as actually taking it from one person and bringing it to another person? That's already another drosha, more longdus, which we won't go into today, but we can another time. And Abaya doesn't see eye to eye with Rava of Hefka Bez and Hefka. And Rava saying, well, you know, what do you need all this drosha about? Sheval Tase and Oka Dovim in Atara. I've got Hefka Bez and Hefka, which is a simple mechanism. Just like we've learned other takonas, the rabbis have deep powers, and we spoke about the powers of Chazal 3 months ago. They have the power to compulsorily acquire, they had compulsory to annul even retrospectively a marriage of in a Rabbon and a Kiddushin, another interesting subject. But here we've got the takona of Prusbul. Now, the Tosfos HaRosh reflects the words here of Tosfos that it wasn't a nice thing to do in normal terms, if there had been no financial emergency, for Hillel to do this, because of Pasnisht, although there is such a din as Moshe Shtoros of Lebezdin. Now the Pnei Yeshua analyzes this, and he says, well, what is really the difference? If you can hand over your Chovos to the Bezdin, and you can make a Prusbul, surely it's all the same thing. Chado Milsahi. Then why should Shmuel later on in the Gemara call Prusbul a chutzpah? It's all the same din, what Hillel was doing. So he does say that there are two separate issues between giving over your debts to the Beis Din and making a Prusbul. He first of all shows concern that there might be an abuse of Beis Din powers when you make a Prusbul, and secondly that you may effectively be abolishing Shmitas Ksofim, which is what Tosfos was alluding to. Now the Ramban holds that min ha-Torah, Shmita still applies nowadays. And the Beis Halevi has this view, and the Netziv has this view. But why have a Prusbul if you've got Hefka Bez Din Hefka? Rava holds it's Daraisa. So he says, well, generally people are reluctant to hand things over to the Beis Din, particularly at the time that the loan is made. They like to keep things confidential. And there's another problem, and that is, often a loan will be a written agreement, but sometimes a loan might just be an oral agreement. And then most of Shtaros of the Beis Din will be difficult to apply, because you can't hand over documents to the Beis Din if you made an oral loan, whereas a Prusbul will cover an oral loan. So he says, the Ramban, that when you're doing a Prusbul, it's perfectly okay min ha-Torah, not just because the Gemara says Hisham el-Chopen, but because of Hefka Beis Din Hefka. Then why do you have a Prusbul? He says, because we don't want to forget the din of Shmita. And this is alluded to in the Gemara of Zeichel Shavius. We don't want to forget the idea of Shmitas Kesofim nowadays. And even if Prusbul is not really a radical measure, we want people to understand and to realize that there is such a thing as Shmita cancelling debts, and therefore we got the Prusbul to remind us. I'm going to now refer to a Ridbaz. And the Ridbaz was Rav Yaakov David from Tzfas, and he writes a Perush on the Sefer Pasach Shulchan of Shavuos. And he looks not just at Prusbul, but at the din of Mechiras Chometz, selling Chometz, and at the din of Heteriska. And it's fascinating, because he says that there are many Kofrim who say, oh, these are all cop-outs, these are all loopholes. But then he agrees that there are even Shomrei Torah Shemayim who regard these halachas as ways out, as kulas, as leniencies. And he says nothing could be further from the truth. He says, when a person does mechiras chometz, he sells his chometz before Pesach, it's not meant to be a cop-out. People think, oh, the Torah forbids me to keep chometz, and now I do mechiras chometz, and I get round it. I've got a cop-out, I've got a loophole. He says that's not the pshat. The pshat is like this, that min ha-Torah, you can say kol chamir on Erev Pesach, and you can say all chometz which I own, which is in my possession, is botel, it's hefka. And that's good enough. You don't need to do anything more min ha-Torah. So why do we do mechiras chometz, and why do many encourage mechiras chometz? It's an added precaution to make sure that you're not over balyero balyamotze. Maybe you didn't have the right kavana when you were saying your kol chamira. Maybe you didn't have the right intentions of being mevatel your chometz. So when beforehand you do your mechiras chometz, you say, I sell all chometz in my possession, and that's an added precaution. So he said, as that's an added precaution, it's a chumrah, it's not a kolah. And then he comes to the subject of heteriska. He says, when people engage in a business transaction together, then it's a partnership in any case. And one gets profits from the other one, that's a partnership in any case. Don't think that it's just a way, a device, to enable a normal halvor. That's not the case. If it's just a normal halvor to go and buy a car or something, you can't do a heta iska for something like that, according to most poskim. So he says the heta iska is to endorse the fact that it's a shukvus, so that there's no doubt in anybody's mind. In case anyone thinks that it's a halvor, that it's a loan, and therefore by doing the heta iska, it's rubber stamping the fact that it is a shutfus and nothing more.
In the heta iska, do you share, if somebody's making a loan, do they take a loss of the transaction?
I was waiting for that. Well then there's the din of Shavua, and there's an idea of half deposit, half loan, to counteract events when there are losses, but we haven't really got time to go into the detail of that.
Which case is the case for not? You didn't cut the price of
car. Well, I asked the Rav about this very piece of the Ridbas, because I said to him, you know, I can walk into an Israeli bank and I can borrow money and use it to buy a car, and it's not an investment, it's not really business. And you've got in every Israeli bank a little pesek on the wall which says Heta Iska Klali, which is saying that you are a partnership with the bank. And this Rav, who I spoke to, shrugged his shoulders and said, look, I can't speak for the Israeli banks. I'm not very happy about Heta Iska Klali, and he thinks it's very dodgy. But there is a long tshuva of Rav Moshe Feinstein about Jewish banks and the idea of Heta Iska in relation to them, and he endorses it. But it is a difficult subject. The bottom line here is that the Heta Iska is to endorse the fact that there is already an existing partnership between the parties, and therefore there is no loan. And to quote the Igros Moshe, Rav Moshe Feinstein, he actually admonishes us to understand that a Heter Iska is not a magic formula or a lucky charm which dispels the prohibition of ribbis. That's not what a Heter Iska is. So it's a chumrah, it's not a kula. Says the Ridbaz in the same way, Prusbul. Prusbul, people think, oh, it's a cop-out. The rabbis found a loophole in order to get round it. That's not what a Prusbul is. A prusbul is an endorsement to show that what we're doing is in conformity with the din d'oraisa, Moshe Shtorosov Lubezdin, and it is done in effect. Okay, it does do away with Shmitas Ksofim in practice, but Hillel had his reason for doing that, to protect the poor people. Therefore he says the prusbul is a chumrah and it's not a kula. And it's interesting because the previous Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, writes about the Gemara interpretation of the word prusbul, buli buti. It comes from Greek. Buli are the rich people and the buti are the poor people, and it helps both of them. It helps the rich people, obviously, because they feel they'll get their money back. It helps the poor people because they're able to secure loans which they would otherwise have not been able to do. So prusbul is a corrective mechanism in the economy. That's obvious. But says the Ger Rebbe, he said it's more than that. The buli, the helping of the rich people, is to help them avoid the nisoyon of doing an issur, because they might do an issur of refraining from lending to the poor people as a form of tzedakah, and in order that they don't hold back from lending, we are helping the rich people in a spiritual ruchniyustik way by the prusbul. And in the same way, the buti, the helping of the poor people in a spiritual way, is the poor person has the nisoyon. Because that when the poor person repays the loan, he should say, Af al pi kein. What does the Gemara do? It says that you should still pay back your loans, even if Shemitos v'shamit. Ruach ha-chomim lo chehemenu. So you go and pay back your loan, and the person who lent the money is supposed to say, Meshamet honey, I let you off. And then the poor person or the borrower should say, Af al pi kein. Even so, I still want you to accept. That is the right way of doing things, if one is able to repay the loan. So the poor person has the nisayon of whether to say Af al pi kein. So Prusbul is also to help the poor person out of that nisayon. And the Ger Rebbe was particular to lend money to somebody after he wrote the Prusbul. Once you've done your Prusbul, then subsequent loans are not covered by the effect of the Prusbul. So he would do a Prusbul, and then he would lend money in order to do a mitzvah to help the poor person. So somebody said to him, then why did you bother doing a Prusbul? He said, L'kayim takonas chazal. Chazal instituted something, and we have respect for what Chazal did. I still want to do a Prusbul. And it's all about equity. There's a story about the Maharshach who writes in Chelek Aleph, Simon Pei Dalad, that there was a din Torah beforehand of somebody claiming back money from somebody else which he had loaned him. And the borrower said, I don't have to pay it back. Shmitah. Shmitah was Meshamet. I did it. And therefore, that the person who lent the money said, I did a Prusbul. And the person who had borrowed said, I don't have to pay back because of Shmita. So the Maharshach said, okay, you are released from having to pay back as far as the din of Shmita is concerned. But now I instruct you to give a matana to this person of that amount. Because he knew he had the money, he knew he was able to pay back, and he was exploiting a takon of Chazal, which was meant to help the poor people, by trying to gain benefit for himself. So the Maharshach said, okay, you're freed from the loan, but now I instruct you to give that money. To appreciate Takonot Chazal, that what they were doing was something as a geder to the Torah, as a siogna Torah, to help the poor people, but this, as we said, is not a loophole, but it's to create a better achdus in Klal Yisrael, and the Imre Naam says that when we keep the mitzvah, Shmitas Ksofim, it's a segula, it's to be mevatel our tivus because it's something on our materialism and therefore helps us towards teshuva, and it's at a time when we're approaching Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and therefore we should have the right intentions in what we're doing when we deal in our financial dealings with our fellow person. And that's all part of our teshuva process. And when we do the Prusbul, just like we do the Takon of Prusbul, we remember Hillel, just like we follow Hillel with Karech on Seder night. To put together matzah mara, these are all takonas which were done for a good reason. We're doing things not just simply to satisfy ourselves, we're doing these things because Chazal told us to. And with that respect of Chazal, we should be zoche to shnas gula v'shua, and I wish you a ksiva v'chsima tova.